Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 1. We've been going through for some time now and studying the divisions of the Bible and studying the divisions of the Bible, each book of the Bible that's in that division from the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament, from Genesis to the book of Revelation. We're coming to the end of this as we are now in the general epistles. The general epistles are just practical Christianity, As you look at them and read and study them. We've already studied 1 and 2 Peter, studied the book of James, and now we're in the book of 1 John. 1 John. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the first four verses as we get started here in our study of 1 John. The Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you tonight, it's a blessing to have an opportunity to be back in church. And I thank you for each one that's here tonight that's taken advantage of that opportunity that you made available to them. Thank you for what we've already been blessed by and just by being in church tonight. And now we open up the precious Word of God and we have this book of 1 John. And Lord, I know it's a very powerful book to the children of God. And I just pray that you'd help each one of us to open up our hearts and our minds and receive what you have for us through the teaching and the preaching of thy Word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Practical Christianity, 1 John is a family letter from the Father to His children. Now, genuine Christianity is something that we all ought to be thankful for, and God's design of New Testament Christianity is designed to be a family. God being our Heavenly Father, and we as born-again believers, as we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we are born into that family, adopted into that family of God. And John addresses this in 1 John. You'll find that the phrase little children mentioned throughout the book of 1 John. You'll find it in chapter 2, verse 1, verse 12, verse 13, and 18. And then verse 28, chapter 3, verse 7, verse 18. Chapter 4 and verse 4, and then chapter 5, verse 21. Speaking of a father to his children. He speaks to us and he gives us this through John, who is the apostle that Jesus Christ worked through to give us, to pen this letter for us, knowing that we as his children would face a lot of adversity in the world. And as we face the adversity in the world, we have this book to look to find the blessings that God has for us as his dear children. And the first blessing, I'm going to break it down. I'm going to give you four things tonight concerning what God the Father has given to us that is a blessing for us to be aware of. And the first thing here is found in chapter 1, and that is that we can have fellowship with the Father. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us and desires to fellowship with us. Now, if you look here in chapter 1, in verses 1 and 2, John here is writing and he is presenting himself with the apostles in knowing that they had firsthand experience. They walked with Jesus Christ on the face of this earth. They were able to hear him and be able to touch him and communicate with him. And he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, Jesus Christ was that which was from the beginning. If you study John chapter 1, he reveals that. And you study in creation and Genesis, Jesus was there in the beginning of time. He was actually before time because God designed time for humanity. There's no time in heaven. And so we find here, he's talking about from the beginning of the time that we are aware of, God was there, Jesus was there, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Now he's presenting to us that they have actually walked with God in walking with Jesus Christ. Because he, as we look on, as we'll see a little bit later, he's part of the Trinity of God. He reveals that to us here. But with our own eyes, we've seen him, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what he's talking about there, in the flesh. Jesus, God, came in the flesh, and they were able to walk with him and to talk with him and to experience his presence. For this, the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, this is how we have access to God the Father. This is how we can have fellowship with an almighty creator God. You can't have fellowship with God outside you go through Jesus Christ. He came to allow us an opportunity to be reconciled to the Father. And through him, now we have access to the holies of holies. We have access to have fellowship, communion with him. Now that's exciting stuff when you understand it. And then he says in verse 3 and 4, even though through Christ it is possible, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. As now he's written, they're writing it down, the things that Jesus taught, and now the Holy Spirit of God's leading them. We have the completion of the New Testament, which is the words of Christ, which is has to do with New Testament Christianity. We have everything that God would have us to know about him and about the life that we're living, about what to expect, all written down in the Bible. And so he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. That once you understand that, you know who God is, you know how we can have fellowship with him, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. We have been there, we walk with Christ, and now because of that, we have access to God the Father, and we fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, because once you understand this and you start enjoying the fellowship that is that is available to every born-again believer, your joy may be full. When you learn how to fellowship with God, you are learning something that is going to bring you joy in every day, every situation that you find yourself in. You can have fellowship with God. Now, we know fellowship. We can talk to the Father. And we talk to the Father through the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's just how God has designed it for the New Testament church age. If you think back when you were at home and you had an opportunity, you went out with just a father-daughter, father-son opportunities, and the joy it was to have just that one-on-one, and you were able to communicate and fellowship, whatever it was, over an activity or a meal or whatever it might have been. Sometimes dads would take their daughters out on date night. Sometimes the fathers will take their sons on a father-son outing. And it's just the opportunity to spend time with your child. And that child wants to be around the father and to have opportunity, not having the sisters interrupt, not even having mom interrupt, but you can get in close fellowship and you can communicate with your father. You can remember the joy and the blessings that was. Can I tell you that in our spiritual relationship with God, we can have a communion with God. We can have that one-on-one. That means that I can talk to God. A one-on-one 24/7. God, through Jesus Christ, we have access through prayer. And praying is a time of fellowship. Because you're actually speaking to a God that's listening. You see, if you associate fellowship with prayer, you might want to pray more often. As God would desire us to pray more often. We are to pray about all things. As we spend time in prayer, it is acknowledging God, and we have a fellowship with God that doesn't have to end if we pray without ceasing. We have the opportunity to hear from God. Not only do we want to in fellowship, we want to be heard, we want to speak, but we also need to listen and hear the voice of instruction. To hear the voice that will give us wisdom and knowledge. You can have that 24/7 too. Because God has left with us His Word. See, when you have Bible reading, it'll make a difference if you acknowledge your Bible reading as fellowship with God. And as you read it, just don't read it to get through, but read it as if you're listening to the very voice of God, because that's what the Bible is. It's a love letter from God to you. Now, if you've ever received a love letter, now some of you boys, I don't think you got there yet, you know, but if you've ever received a love letter, when you read that, you have that voice of that person in your mind. And when you read it, you can tell it's that person because of how they talk. And they'll write how they talk. And when you're reading that letter, you're having fellowship with that person by just listening to what they wrote to you. When you read the Bible, understand it's a part of fellowship with God. It's allowing God to speak to us. You can have that whenever you need it, whenever you desire it. Can I tell you, church, what we're doing right here, and every time you come to church, if you understand what church is, an assembly of God's people, amen, and God is in the midst with us, and we're singing praises unto the Father, and we're being ministered through song, and then we get to hear the preaching or what God has said, interpreted, if you will, presenting with understanding so that you might know for sure that is what God is saying through the written down word of God. He has chosen the foolishness of preaching to make it clear and applicable to our lives. If you understand, when you come to church, it is part of fellowship with God, and I desire the fellowship with God in every opportunity I have. Whenever the church doors are open, I want that fellowship with God. It's not, oh, I got to go to church, or now I've got to make an appearance, or whatever. No, you have it all wrong. Satan is blinding you to the blessings of assembling ourselves together in His name and worshiping Him. It is a part of a fellowship with God. The church is the only place where all different kinds of backgrounds and nationality of people can come together, and we can fellowship together under a one worship, worshiping God as He would have us to worship Him. And this is fellowship. This is fellowship one with another, but this is what the Apostle John was saying to the people. As you read this, our fellowship with God, you fellowship with us, you're fellowship with God, and we're all together because we know who He is and we've walked with Him, and we can help you to understand that. And as we come together, we are in a fellowship with God as we assemble ourselves together. And that's why we ought not to forsake the assembling, because we ought to have a desire to fellowship with Him. And at the same time, we fellowship with each other. We all are blessed by the same specials. And can I tell you, it's all right to show that by saying amen. It's all right to show that by a smile. Sometimes as I'm preaching the Word of God, I'm thinking, what? Are they getting this, or are they being blessed by this? And sometimes you say you are, but you have to express that through your face. It's all right to smile. It's all right to say, yes, preacher, preach on. Amen. That encourages the preaching of the word. Just as when they're up here singing, you smiling at them encourages them to minister to you through song. Amen. Yeah. But it's all part of our fellowship. It's all part of just communicating with God and experiencing His presence together. We can do this through Christ. In order to have this fellowship, we must live in the light of His Word. Maybe that's why some, when you come to church, you're not able to enjoy it. You're not able to see it as fellowship. You're not able to read your Bible as fellowship. You're not able to pray as fellowship because you're not living in the light. And the darkness is stealing your joy, the joy of the Lord. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. The more fellowship you have with God, the more joy you'll have. Amen. But he says this, "This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you." He taught us this. When we walked with him, he taught us this. And we're declaring it unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If you're not in fellowship with him, whether you're in church or reading your Bible or praying, if it's not true fellowship with God, it's not going to bring you the joy that we are searching and seeking after. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ. When we do fail, we do have darkness, we can just confess and forsake it, and he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And his blood, once it's cleansed, it restores us to fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Love and fellowship are different. Love is automatic. You don't have to do anything for God to love you. He loves you as a lost person and wants you to get saved. When you get saved, he loves you as one of his children. But just because you become a child of God does not mean that you're in fellowship with God, because a saved person can live in sin. But if you're saved and you're living in sin, you are loved, but you are not in fellowship. And you will not have the joy. You might go through the motions, but you will not have the joy. You see, if I'm looking for a fellowship, I'm seeking obedience. Because going through chastisement, and God will chasten his children when they are living in sin, and going through chastisement is not a time of fellowship. Matter of fact, look with me now, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It's a part of the Christian life. It's not a part of the lost. The lost never get chastened of God. They might have to suffer the consequences of their sin and their actions, but it's not chastisement of God, because God doesn't chastise the lost. God chastens his own that are living and walking in darkness. In Hebrews chapter 11, he explains this to us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Let me get over there myself. I'm sorry, chapter 12 and verse 5. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son," you're his child, you're saved. "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." He wants to get back in fellowship, but if you're living in darkness, he can't fellowship with darkness, and so he has to bring chastisement into our life in order to restore fellowship. Chastisement leads to repentance, which leads to forgiveness and cleansing of sin, which then leads to fellowship. Amen. So he says, "For whom the Lord loveth," he chastens because he loves you. And he knows what we have need of. You have need of fellowship with him more than you have need of fellowship with the world. And he'll address that in just a few minutes here. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Look at verse 11. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." You don't find the joy in the chastisement. You find the joy after the chastisement, after the repentance, after the cleansing, and now you're back in fellowship. And when you're back in fellowship, there is joy. Amen. For now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. For now you're back doing right unto them which are exercised thereby. My wife and I had two girls. There has never been a time that we have ever not loved them, because they're our flesh and blood. They're our children. Nothing that they could ever do, nothing could ever happen that would stop us from loving them. But fellowship is different from love. There have been times, especially when they were young, that we didn't have a lot of fellowship. It took the chastening to drive out the foolishness which is bound in the heart of every child, even pastor's kids. It took the chastening to get them to a place of obedience to where we could have the fellowship. I remember the last time that I had to physically discipline my two girls. It was at this church. It was somewhere in the early 90s. We had just built the other building off of the main auditorium. It was on the other side. And I'm back in that office, or back in my area back there, and I hear some commotion. I hear a big bang, and I thought, what's going on? And I walk down through, which is now the nursery hallway, down into the foyer over here, and there they stand, Cherie on the inside, Crystal on the outside. And in between them was a locked door that had a big crack going from the top all the way to the bottom. And they both, you could tell, were scared to death. What happened? Yeah. And they both, well, Cherie started crying. She wouldn't let me in. It's her fault. You don't know what she did to me before, that's why I wouldn't let her in. And the door was locked, and Cherie would not let Crystal in. And Crystal started banging on that glass door and somehow put her mom's hips into the door. I'm in trouble, I know. The door cracked. The glass cracked from the top to the bottom. I immediately took them in. There was no fellowship taking place right there. I'm thinking, we are in this building project and we just spent all the money. We don't have the money to replace the door. And you're the pastor's girls. You're my cat. How could you do such a thing? And I took them in there and I spanked both of them. Both of them crying. It's unfair. That was Cherie. Didn't have fellowship. I don't think they've ever done that again, though. Yeah. As far as I know, from that point on, they never did anything from that point on. They would have been 10, 12. I never had to physically discipline them again. That's why I remember that. Now, Cherie still thinks that I've taken out a little anger. I might have. But it was deserved. And we've had fellowship. Wow. Fellowship with the Father requires obedience, requires walking in the light. The benefits are fullness of joy. Don't let anyone or anything keep you from the fellowship. Nothing's worth it. Nothing is as great as knowing that I am right with God and can pray and I can read my Bible and hear from God. I can attend church services and get out of the services what God wants me to get out of it. I can have fellowship with God. Yeah. There's joy connected to that. That your joy may be full. The second thing he gives us here that I want to present to you in 1 John is a father warning his children. He is informing his children about fellowship to start with. Now we find, if you look there in chapter 2, he's warning his children, which means God is warning us. If you're a child of God, the warning is still the same today. In chapter 2, look in verse 15. Love not the world, the philosophies and the ways of the world. Don't get caught up in it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, listen, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and he describes what he tells, he warns you against, the lust of the flesh. If you're looking to the world, that lust of the flesh will overwhelm you. The lust of the eyes, it will overwhelm you. And the pride of life will overwhelm you because it's not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world, listen to me, it passeth away. Why yield your life to something that is going to pass away when you can yield your life to God and have the blessings of fellowship and have the joy of knowing you have eternal life? But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Parents warn their children. As a parent, you know more than what your children do, no matter how old they get. When they get into the teenage years, they have a tendency to think that things have changed, their world is different, and they know more than the parent does. I understand that. One of the most difficult thing it is to raise teenagers, especially in the day and age we live. But as a parent, you know that you know more than they do, and you want to warn them of the things that's going to destroy their lives. I remember, I think it was Tarina Moffat, Sonny, when the kids were little. She would follow them around. She said, danger, danger, danger. They get close to an outlet. Danger, danger. Amen. I think that was Trina, right? Yeah, he's shaking his head up there. I remember that. And she was just saying, there's warnings out there, and I've got to make sure that my children don't do things that's going to injure them, going to hurt them, going to cause them problems in life. That's what God says. I'm giving you this warning because it'll destroy your life. It'll destroy the fellowship as a born-again believer that you have with God. It will take you to a devil's hell if you're lost. Yeah, the warnings. Romans in chapter 12 and verse 2. Let me just read a couple of verses to you here that go right along with this to help us. You know the verse, but it says, and be not conformed to this world. God is saying danger. Danger. Warning. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, because that's what's going to bring you joy. Will of God. Look with me, James chapter 4. Let me just read it to you. James in chapter 4, write it down so you can go back there to it. The book of James in chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, you want the same things in common, that's friendship. You desire the same things in common. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The world is just the opposite of godliness. Worldliness is the opposite of godliness. So he warns us. Children, God says to you, love not the world. How do I keep from loving the world? Love God. Yeah, just love God. Follow his instructions. look to please him, fellowship with him. Amen. The third thing tonight is children and their relationship with each other. You've heard me say this before with my girls when they'd ever ask me, what do you want, Dad? I want you to love your sister. One of the things that I would always tell them, get along. If you're getting along, hey, it makes parenting a lot easier. When the congregation is getting along, it makes pastoring a lot easier. It really does. Amen. Yeah. Relationships with each other. Most of this book of 1 John has to do with the relationships within the church. Chapter 2, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. Realize there's no fellowship with God in darkness. Do you get more out of hating somebody than you do out of fellowship with God? Or are you just blinded? That's what it takes away. Most are blinded. Satan gets you to hate knowing that it will rob you of fellowship and joy of the Lord. It ain't worth it. It's not. Forgive. Let love cover. Walk away. Pray for. Amen. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. That's where you want to be. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Meaning that you're going to stumble if you allow this hatred to overcome you concerning anybody, but especially another brother or sister in Christ. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. That's powerful right there. Chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should, this is God's will for us, that we should love one another. There's something to that. It's something that will keep the church unified. It's something that will make this and keep this a place of refuge. As a pastor, I need my church to be a place of refuge for me. And I know that every member of this church needs to be able to look to the church for refuge. There should not be any kind of hatred. There should not be any divisions. There ought to be a unity of the people of God. As we assemble ourselves together, there needs to be a sense of fellowship. There needs to be a sense of love and support and encouragement. Should not have to think, oh, I'm going to have to face that person. I have to deal with this situation, that situation. That's not church. It's not how God designed it. If church is splitting and having problems over minor issues, it starts out small and is not dealt with, and before you know it becomes a mountain, and half the church is on one side, the other church, half the church is on the other side, and you can't even have church. There's no fellowship in the worship of God. We can't allow that. It's going to take every individual to have to put forth effort to love, to forgive, to overlook, to get along. Yeah. Verse 16, chapter 3. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought, underline that word ought, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's Bible. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, now dwelleth the love, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Looking to help somebody and bless somebody, encourage somebody. My little children, he says once again, you're my children. This is God the Father speaking to us. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If you have a problem with somebody and you really sense that Satan is trying to use this to develop a hatred and a division, start praying for that person. Start looking to give that person, do things for that person. Do everything you can. And as you do that, you'll find that that love will start coming back. And that desire for forgiveness will start coming back. And there can be a fellowship. There can be a fellowship in the things that we're doing here as a congregation. Worship. Prayer. Praise. Children, the relationship with each other. Chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought, there that word again, ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Look down to verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God in whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Yeah. Sri used to tell Krista all the time, you have to love me. She'd tell me that. You can't get mad, you gotta love me. Yeah. And that's true. If you're going to be obedient, if you're going to have fellowship with God, you have to love. Amen. Yeah. Children's assurance. I've got to close with this. God gives us some things in this 1 John as the Father writing to his children. He wants us to have these assurances. In chapter 5, that's what it's all about, giving us assurances. In chapter 5, verse 4. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. He wants to assure you that in Christ you have the ability to do what he asks you to do. You have the ability to overcome any obstacle that Satan might put in your life that would hinder your fellowship with God. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Yeah. We need to have the peace of mind to know that we are overcomers. If you can't do it, your faith is not where it needs to be. Strengthen your faith. Grow in your faith. As you grow in your faith, you'll understand it more clearly and you'll be able to do what God has commanded us to do. No matter what it might be, we're overcomers. If you have God as your heavenly Father and you have access to whatever he has, if you have faith to know who he is, how can you not believe that you, with God, you and God are a majority? No matter who's against you, it doesn't matter who's against you, as long as God be for you, you can overcome. You can overcome. That's something he wants you to know. Something that he wants to give you peace of mind. In verse 7, something else he wants you to know. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that can help us in accomplishing all things. Because we serve a Trinity. Amen. Yeah. And then lastly, chapter 5, verse 13. God has recorded his plan, and he has made it so simple that he wants all to know. Verse 11. And this is a record. God has recorded, not man. God worked through man possibly, but this is God's word. This is what God says. And as his children, we need to know this. And this is the record, the recording, that God hath given to us eternal life. If we believe in God and the Bible says he writes down here, you have everlasting eternal life, that's a peace that passeth all understanding. If God says it, you can bank on it. It's true. And this is the record, the recording that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So he says, he that hath the Son hath life. You just got to know you have the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's as simple as that. But if you know who Jesus Christ was, you believe that he died for your sins, and you called upon him to be your Savior. Listen to me. You've done what the Bible says you need to do to have the Son. And if you have the Son, you have everlasting life. God wants you to know that. For he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. If you have believed and received him, that you may know. Stop doubting it. If you doubt it, make sure you come to this altar and do what God says you need to do. It's not worth doubt. Stop doubting it and get it nailed down. Because if Satan can get you to question your own salvation, he'll get you to question everything that God has for you to do. And you will not have fellowship with God in your Bible reading. You'll not have fellowship with God in your prayer life. You'll not have fellowship with God in your assembling of ourselves together. And you will not have the joy that comes along with that fellowship. Nail it down. Get it taken care of. Walk away knowing, never to doubt again. Praise the Lord, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. God the Father, in the book of 1 John, writing to his children, what a great help this book is to all believers. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Good stuff. Practical Christianity in the general epistles. There's not a book in the Bible more practical than the book of 1 John. There's not a book in the Bible that offers more to the believer than 1 John. I trust you've received it tonight. If there's something going on in your life that you need to bring to this altar, now's the time to do it. God wants you to have fellowship with him. When you read your Bible, when you pray, when you come to church, when you serve him. Fellowship with God. Father, we bow before you tonight. We do love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, God, that as we can stand here and preach and reveal the truths and God, how you work through it. The word of God is so powerful. I pray, God, that everyone here would have received what they have need of tonight to bring back the joy of the Lord into their lives. I pray, God, if there's anything hindering anyone here tonight, that they would bring it to this altar and get it settled once and for all. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.